So if you were here last week, this will be familiar to you. I talked last week about Bibles for people who are younger or who want, oftentimes it's a more visual reference. So today I thought we'd spend a little time looking at the stories we heard today and how they show up in here. Because we are visual people, and sometimes it helps to have some context to put in this. So this is the story of Esau and Jacob, as this book tells it. So you can see at the bottom of the page the tents. The lentil stew is up here. They've helpfully included one of the animals that Esau would have been herding over here. Which I think we can all sort of immediately understand how that makes that story, it gives it more depth. It helps us understand what's going on a little bit differently, a little more thoroughly. The parable we heard today, what Jesus talks about, is also in here. This is not a word-for-word translation, of course, so every story is in here, but whatever the editors have decided are the key stories are in here. So it has the parable of the sower. It tells us it's in Matthew 13, which is the version we read today, Mark 4, and Luke 8. And then it has the sower's bag. So how people would have sown grain in those days is if you would have had sort of a messenger-style bag, you would have put your seeds in it, and you would have picked them out by sort of the handful and tossed them. There was no equipment to help with that. So some seed would have gotten wasted, much like how Jesus talks about it. Jesus sort of gives meaning to all the seed that gets wasted. And at the bottom of the page, you would have seen the birds and the dehydrated plants and the weeds, and then finally the healthy grain across the bottom, in case you had been wondering what any of that might have looked like, or if, you know, you were too young to read, someone could sit here and read this story to you, and you would have pictures you could talk about. Which is part of why I like this resource. I think it helps both younger people, but it also helps us to have, you know, a sense of what that sower's bag would have looked like. What would the lentil stew have been like? Where would this have happened as we approach the text? You can read study Bibles and a lot of other commentaries and resources to get that, but sometimes we've actually made it easy for you, so I wanted to show you what that was like a little bit this morning. Thank you. It is worth noting what the lectionary does with Jesus' speech in the beginning of Matthew 13, the story we heard. It opens exactly as I read it. Jesus was being followed by great crowds, so he went out on a boat so he could teach them all. And then he tells the parable of the sower, the person who went out and threw grain on the path where birds ate it, on the dry soil where it could not last and actually grow, among the weeds that choked it out. And then finally, some of it fell on good soil and grew well. And then the disciples all look at him and go, "What are you talking about? This makes no sense to us." So if you got to the end of that and you're like, "Sure, that's not how we plant things anymore. This isn't how, like, I don't garden like that. I don't understand this." You are in good company. And then Jesus sort of berates the disciples for a few minutes and tells them how this is a sign and they should understand and all of this. And then he gets to the part, the last chunk I read, where he tries to explain this. Well, the seed that fell on the path is the people who become distracted. Seed among the weeds is those who The lures of the world and of wealth choke out the word. And at this point in time, usually what I have is a bunch of people who are really worried about how much money they have in their bank account and whether or not they're actually some of the good seed. So this is a gardening practice that will actually be familiar to some of you, where you go and you try and recoup the seeds that have appeared in your own garden, right? Put baggies on things and the seeds fall out, you capture them and keep them for next year. Okay, nobody's looking horribly confused. There we go. Someone's nodding at least. All of these stories occurred before you could go to the corner store and buy all of your seeds. Someone had to do that. And if Jesus were to tell this story for us today, I think he would tell that part of it. Jesus, remember, is telling this before there's anything like the Christian church. There's really just him and the people who pushed him out in the boat. And then there's all those people on the shore who might or might not wind up joining Jesus. This is in the early days. I think if he was talking to us today, he would tell us more about the sower than he did about the seed. Because by virtue of the fact that you are all here this morning, I'm really confident that we're in that good seed that is growing and producing something. But I think Jesus would have a few notes for the church, this body of people grown from those disciples who helped push him out into the boat, grown from those people on the crowds on the shores who listened and decided that what he had to say was enticing enough to keep following. And all that we have done in the 2,000 years since all this happened. Some of it would be good. A lot of it would be good. We are still here. We are still talking about exciting ways to share the word of God and the love of God with those around us. But I also think he would ask us what exactly kinds of seeds we have been sowing. I think he would press the church on how well we feel we have made good citizens instead of good Christians. I suspect Jesus would have something to say about the number of people I've had to apologize to on behalf of the church for what we have done to them. The times when the church has not shown up at a deathbed, the times when the funeral has been a train wreck instead of a celebration. The times they have come to church and been made to feel afraid and less than, instead of important and welcomed. I think you'd agree with me that Jesus would feel those were issues we needed to talk about. That wasn't what he set out to do, after all, was it? But even more than all of that, I think what Jesus would remind the church today is that the sower throws a lot of seed. And some of it winds up on the path, and some of it on the dry ground, and some of it among the weeds. And this little bit is what lands on the good ground. That is what grows, and that is what has produced us. That we need to worry less about being wasteful. That our focus can't be on what return we'll get for what we do. That our job, having been the good seed that has grown and has produced beyond what most of us could have imagined, is to turn around and remember that that is God's seed, and we are at times also the sower. Our job is to gift what we have been given back to the world around us, even when some of it is going to fall on the path and get swooped up by birds, even when some of it won't grow very well because the ground isn't quite ready yet. Perhaps especially when there are weeds, and there are other voices that want to compete in how we tell people what is important and how to structure their lives. Because for all of the seed it feels like we waste when we throw it out there, for all of the times we look at what we have done and we say, it wasn't good enough. It didn't do what I wanted it to do. It didn't glorify God the way I had planned to glorify God. I think Jesus would look at the church and say, but look at what you have done. You have gone out and you have shared the word that I have given you. You have told people that they are my beloved and they are important to me. And even when you cannot see the success, God can. Well done, good and faithful servants. Amen.